your Bible with me in John chapter 4. Like you can see and hear, my English is not very good. It's still not very good, but I still believing that my English is better than your Portuguese. So, John chapter 4, verse 34 until verse 34 until 36. Let me get my notes here. It's just some pages. We have a lot of time. Until 8 is a lot of time. So praise the Lord for that. So John chapter 4, verse 34 until 38. Read with me. If you could stand, please. We will read the word of God. So Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then come harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are ripe, are ready to harvest. And he that reapeth, receive wages, and gather fruit unto a life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Thank you, Lord, for this time that you gave to us to adore you, but more, Lord, to learn about your word. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. And bless this message. This message can find place in the hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we'll talk about vision, okay? It's not like a dream, okay? The vision that you have when you eat a lot at night and you have a dream. No, it's not that kind of vision. But it's about the way that we look things in these days, okay? And we know that. The way that we look things affect what we will do about. And tonight I wanted to show you some very important things here. The vision that Jesus had about God's will and God's work. And I wanted to call your attention. If you notice that, if you know that, what is God's will for your life and what is God's work for your life also. So, what is God's will? Well, so, when we study God's word, we need to look for key verses. That's the way that I learn. When I read my Bible, I am looking all the time for key verses. Why? Because this help me to understand, help me to get some things. Not when I read my Bible, I don't want to just read because I want to read to fulfill, like, oh, okay, I read my Bible today. No, I want to learn something. I want to see what the Lord has to teach me. And one, the way that you can do that is when you look for key verses. And to me, in this passage, you know John chapter 4, you know that Jesus, this passage talk about the conversation of Jesus and the Samaritan lady, right? You know that. And this verse 34 is the key verse for all the things that happen around of this test. Why this is a key verse? Because this verse teaches us the will of God and the work of God. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. But what is the will of God? What is the will of God? I love the book of John. As soon as when someone trusts in the Lord, accept the Lord as their Savior, they ask me, what book you start? I can start to read. And I'll tell them, read the book of John. And this book teaches us about the will of God. John chapter 6, verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. According with this verse, what is God's will for the mankind? Eternal life. Eternal life. And this is the best gift that we can receive from the Lord. Eternal life. Why? Because eternal life means, okay, we will live forever with God, not without him, not in the hell. We will live all the eternity with him. And the desire of the Lord for the mankind is eternal life. And that is so important that we cannot lose it. Brothers and sisters, we cannot forget. Okay. What is God's will for us? What is God's will for us? Because Jesus has this perfect vision about God's will. That is the church's life. That is the reason that we are here tonight. Eternal life. We don't want to just eternal life just for me, for you. We want to share this with this world. That's the reason that God sent Jesus Christ. And Jesus had this perfect vision about God's will. Eternal life for the mankind. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, Lord, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay, another truth from God's word. According to this verse, what is God's will? No perishment. No condemnation. Amen? No condemnation. That's awesome. You have 100% sure that you are going to heaven, right? This makes us so happy. That's the best truth that we can see through the Bible. We will spend all the eternity with the Lord. But let me tell you something. To Jesus Christ, to do the will of God, and I know that. You know that Jesus is 100% man, 100% divine. He's God. But talking like man, he has the same things that we do have. But he don't have sins. But he was a man like us. But to fulfill God's will, he needs to do something very important. He needs to put his will beside of him, or aside of him, right? You understand, you got it, right? Praise the Lord for that. Okay, I will give you the verse here. John chapter 6, verse 38. Look what the Bible tells us here. Chapter 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven. This is Jesus. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. What a blessing is when we put aside our own will to do God's will. What a blessing. What the Lord can do through us when we do that. This is awesome. If we have this vision, if we want this desire in our heart, if we have this desire in our heart, we need to put aside our own will to fulfill God's will. Jesus did that. He did that because he wants no perishment, no condemnation for me and for you. That's the blessing. What a blessing. But to make this happen, Jesus needs to do something. Okay, we believe, I believe the salvation is completely free. Don't cost anything for me and for you. But it costs something for Jesus Christ. To make or to give us this assurance about our salvation, he needs to do something. And the verse that we read in John chapter 4, verse 34, he said, I came down, yeah, from heaven, 36, yeah, the 34. He said, not to fulfill my will, but let me see here. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. What is the work that Jesus did for us? What is this work? Go through the Bible. What is the work that Jesus did? John chapter 17, verse 4. What is the work? I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He finished the work. Start something is so easy, right? Start like a diet is easy. To finish is hard. It's hard. Everything in our life is the same way. Start something is very easy, but to finish is hard. Start good is easy. Finish good is hard. But I'm thankful for my Lord, for my Savior, because he never stepped back. He finished and finished well. He did the work that God gave to him to do. He finished. John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Okay, Brother Lima, you are talking that we need to work to be saved? No. It's not that. The Bible is not teaching us that. The work of the salvation is completely finished by Jesus Christ only. And he is the only one that can do that. But in our days, it's still a work to do. It's not the work of salvation, but the work of the proclamation of the gospel. He gave to us this work to do. And we need to finish well. We need to finish well. We need to do the work. It's not an option for you and for me. It's not an option. Oh, okay, I'm saved by the grace of the Lord, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But he gave us a command. You need to work. I have a plan for you. You want to fulfill God's will? You need to do the work that he planned for you. And this work is share the gospel. Preach the gospel. Witness the gospel for every single person in this world. That is the work. Still needing some people to put their hands in the work. But, like I said, the way that Jesus did that is so interesting. You know, when he answered, okay, I don't know if you, I saw here a lot of young people. But if you are familiar with this passage, you know the thing that passed by the disciple mind when he was talking with this lady. They start to asking, oh, maybe someone bring food for Jesus, right? And Jesus is God. He know everything. And he answered the disciple. He said, Jesus said to them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Okay, we know what is God's will. We know what is God's work. But the way that Jesus did that is so interesting. Because pay attention at the beginning, the answer. My meat is. Who love meat? Okay, if you want to survive, you need to eat, right? Praise the Lord. And it's not hard to do. To eat is the best things that we can do, right? But he is not teaching about food here. He's teaching us about priority. He's teaching us, okay, the disciples think that, oh, okay, someone bring food, and he stopped the disciples and said, okay, my priority here is to fulfill that late need. She has a spiritual need before I eat something. It's not right with this word that I am telling you, but we can see that. My priority is to fulfill that late need. She had a spiritual need. And also, like I said, meat is something that we can enjoy, right? Okay. I don't know about you, but I like churrasco. We call in Brazil barbecue. Churrasco. Yes, yes, that's good stuff. A huge steak with a lot of juice and a lot of flavor. It's, oh, we enjoy, I can enjoy. If you not, let me, okay? I can enjoy that. The same thing that we enjoy to do the things in this world, we need to enjoy doing the things for the Lord. Serve the Lord with joy, with gladness. And we saw that through the disciples' life. Book of Acts, right? Remember when they put the disciples in jail? They hit them. It's not spank them like we do with our kids. No, they hit them hard. They torture them. But when they got a freedom from the jail, what they did? They were so sad. Right? So sad. Oh, I'm suffering for the cause of the Lord. I don't know what this happened. We complain a lot to serve our Lord, right? That's the truth. No. They were so happy. Woohoo! We are suffering because we have the name of the Lord. We serve the Lord. Is that the reason that we are suffering? And we are glad to do that. When you read this passage from the Bible, you miss this kind of Christianity in our day? I miss. Oh, this makes me to think, okay, Alex, you are horrible. You need to be better. You need to serve better your Lord. He did all for you. He never stepped back. He go unto the end. He gave his life for you because he loved you. He loves you. We need to serve the Lord with gladness in our heart. But it's not just that these verses teach us. The another thing that we can learn here is about the contemplation of the harvest. We are talking about the way that we look things, right? And we saw the way that Jesus looked for the will of God and the work of God, and I just want to let you think. You understand God's will for you. You are ready to put your hands in the work. Think about that. And the second thing is the contemplation of the harvest. Verse 35, the Bible says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then come harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are ripe, are ready to harvest." Okay, to have a good contemplation of the harvest, we need to observe some things here. And one of the things that we can observe is, when you read your Bible, you need to start to make questions. Not because you don't trust in the Bible, just because you want to learn. Make questions. What the Lord want to teach me here? What he want to teach me here? Kids, they do that all the time. I have 4 kids. Okay, Joshua, you still be my kid. No matter how old are you, okay? You ever will be my kid, okay? I think I'm not the only one think that way. But the kids, when they want to learn, They do this. You are doing something and they start to make question. They start to ask you, Daddy, how you are doing that? Or what you are doing? Why you are doing? And you gave the answer and then they stop to make question, right? No, don't work like this. They continue to ask you, but why? And you explain again, because this and this and this. And they stop. No, they continue. Why? Because they want to learn. That's the way that they learn. Make question. Sometimes we don't have the patience enough to hold this, right? I want you to do this fast. Please stop. But yeah, we do that. But if we pay attention, they are teaching us how we can learn. And that's the way that we can learn God's word. Make question all the time. Ask, Lord, what do you want to teach me here? And one of the things that the Lord wants to teach us, at the beginning we can see that in this verse. He said, say not ye, they are yet 4 months, and then come harvest. Pay attention in the last this part that come after this. Behold, I say unto you. You know what that word means? Behold, immediately attention. Like us, daddy and mom, when we call our kids, son, come here. And they answer, daddy, I'm finished my game. Please hold on. Wait 10 minutes. You will be so happy if they said that. I will tell you a word that I learned the first time that I came here. I heard Pastor Davidson saying for the kids here. He said, I think, I don't know what the kids was. Thailand said, they were sitting in the old church. He said, okay, guys, if you do not stop, you will be dead meat. I remember that. So, if our kids tell us, daddy, wait 30 minutes, you will be so happy with that. No. But let me tell you, it's funny. But we do that with our Lord. He is saying, behold. That means, stop what you are doing. Stop what you are thinking. Stop where you are going right now. He wants our attention. He wants our attention right now. But if we are constantly busy running and running and running, and our mind is completely full of all the worry of this life, how we can pay attention what the Lord is saying to us? It's so easy to be distracted in these days. We have a lot of distractions. Our work can be a distraction. Yeah. Our passion for sports can be distraction. Everything. Let me tell you, our ministry can be a distraction too. And the Lord is calling our attention. Oh, hey, behold, pay attention. I wanted to teach you something. Don't lose your focus. Focus? Oh, that's a word. Okay. But if we are still running, how we can understand God's will for us? How we can understand God's will? Jesus is teaching us to be attentive to his work. Why he's doing that? Because he wants to see in us the same vision that he has about God's will and God's work. Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Okay. All the time, when we study God's word, we saw the Jesus see people like harvest, like field. Okay? What he wants to teach us here is very simple. I will give you an illustration for you. I'm not too old, okay? I can do that. I'm sitting here. Let me tell you. I can see everyone from here? No. I can see some of you. But when I am here, I can see everyone. I can see both sides. I can see in the back. I have a perfect vision here. That's the thing that the Lord wants to teach us. Look on the field. I can see in the middle. Look of them. Think about them. Don't lose this kind of vision. We are saved to share the same gospel that saved us to the people in this world. That is our mission. But if we don't lift up our eyes, how we can do something? I'm not saying, guys, that you are not doing. I'm not saying that. But we need to continue. We need to pass this kind of vision for the next generation. They need to know what is our purpose in this life. We need to share the gospel. Because that Jesus said, okay, contemplation of the harvest is that take a deeply vision about the destiny of the souls, about the destiny of those that I died for. Think about them. Because if we don't lift up our eyes to see the field, if we don't take time to think about the field, we cannot see the need. If we cannot see the need, we cannot do anything. Because we don't saw the need. Okay, and lastly, Jesus wants to teach us about the participation on the harvest. Verse 36, he said, "And he that reapeth receive wages and gather fruits unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." Okay. I will put this in this way. Who of you guys are happy to be here tonight? Amen. Amen. I'm happy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. But you are happy because you have an assurance in the Lord. You have the truth. You know. You have a knowledge from God's word that you are saved. Because Jesus paid your price on the cross. Jesus paid your price on the cross. But this verse is teaching us very simple. Okay, I came down from heaven. I gave my life to you. But now I want you work for me. I want you work for me. And I will pay you. He came down from heaven. He saved us. He gave a command to us. He has a work need to us to do. And he are saying now, okay, I will pay you. You like to be paid when you work? Praise the Lord. These people don't like money. Oh, my goodness. How you live in this world? You work without payment? No. If you work, I will do some business here in the United States. I will contract you. No. But let me tell you, all the things that we do here, all the money that we do when you work, you use this money to buy something, to buy a house, to buy a car, to buy clothes. And let me tell you, some weeks, some years, you need to repair something. Why? Corruption, right? Pay attention. The payment that the Lord will give us is to endure forever. It's for fruit from eternal life. I save you. You don't deserve anything. I save you. I change your life. And now I contract you. It's not an option, like I said at the beginning. You are in the job. Okay? The Lord contracted you. He said, okay, and I will pay you and pay you very well. Because you know this, one day we will meet our Lord. I hope for that. But when we arrive there, what we will have in our hands to give back to Him? It's not to be, He are paying us to do, not to make us proud, oh, I am missionary in Brazil. I work for the Lord for many years. And oh my goodness, I share the gospel. And I led a lot of people for the Lord. And I'm so humble for doing that for the Lord. No, we don't deserve. This is a privilege. To serve the Lord is a privilege that we have. But one day when we arrive in heaven, Lord, you saved me. This is what I did for you. And we will present to Him and we will put in His feet. This is for you because you saved me. This is all for you. Do you have the same kind of vision that Jesus had? Thank you so much for your attention.